The U.S. Senate failed to approve the Keystone XL pipeline yesterday. That vote was 59 to 41. Supporters needed 60 yes votes to override any potential veto from President Obama. Washington Democrat Patty Murray says we have to know about all potential climate change impact before any final decision can be made on this pipeline.
We're still in the middle of that process. But if this bill passes, it would mean that we're bypassing all the scientists and engineers and experts who are evaluating the proposal. It would put an arbitrary manufactured timeline on a project whose evaluation is incomplete and short-circuit the process for the public to weigh in on this project.
Republicans have promised to bring the pipeline up for vote again in January when they have the majority. Canadians have waited years for pipeline approval. Can they wait another couple of months? Vaughn Palmer's a columnist for the Vancouver Sun. He's a regular Wednesday guest on our show. Hello, Vaughn.
Hi, Marcy.
Canadians must have been disappointed with the U.S. Senate vote.
Some Canadians. Our government put out a statement saying disappointed but not surprised. I think there was a recognition up here that the timing of the vote had as much to do with U.S. Democratic Senate politics, particularly Senator Landrieu from Louisiana, who's, as you know, facing a runoff election and called this vote early to show she had clout and could deliver to her state. So it's probably more of an embarrassment for her than it is for the Canadians who didn't expect a vote at this point. The interesting thing about Keystone, we've been talking about it since it was first proposed, way back in 2008?
Right.
Is how much the field has changed since then. You know, way back then, well, first of all, oil was $100 a barrel. It's now down to $75, so that's changed the economics of some of these projects. The United States, of course, back then wasn't approaching energy self-sufficiency as it is today, so I think the feeling was the Americans wanted the oil. But one of the ones that really interests me the most is that oil has found another way, as it usually does, rail transport. So in rough numbers, the Keystone Pipeline was supposed to carry, I think, about 800,000 barrels of oil a day. Well, the province of Alberta has increased its capacity to ship oil to the United States by rail by about 700,000 barrels a day. So it's almost made up the gap with rail transport.
Are you saying that this is a project that's past its time?
It may have, you know. It's interesting, and if you have a look on the Reuters newswire, you'll see a story moved out of Washington this morning that some speculation that approval of the Keystone Pipeline may become a bargaining chip between the administration and the Republican-controlled Senate in the new year. So it wouldn't be an issue with Canada. It would be, well, if, you know, we give you, the White House saying, we give you the pipeline, you give us something. So it's possible. And I think the Canadians would still very much like to see this route developed. But, you know, despite all the symbolism of yesterday's vote and some fairly fiery rhetoric about in the Senate, Canada's oil sands production continues. We are still shipping oil to the United States. And at these prices, down at $75 a barrel, there's some thought up here that it would just add to the glut of oil and drive down prices, and in the long run, it might not be such a good idea. So waiting a few more years might not be such a bad thing for the Alberta oil industry.
I'm talking with Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer. And Vaughn, last week we previewed the weekend's Vancouver mayoral race, and I'm on pins and needles. What happened?
Well, Mayor Gregor Robertson was reelected. He, as we talked about this last week, he gave kind of a groveling apology in the final week of the campaign. He's returned to office for another term. He'll be, he's on a four-year term, so he'll have been mayor of Vancouver for 10 years. And his party retained control of the city council, although they lost one seat on it. So chastened, I guess you'd say. His party did lose control of the elected park board and lost some seats on the school board, so it wasn't an overwhelming win, but still quite a vindication for Robertson. He'll be one of the longest-serving mayors of Vancouver by the time this is over.
I can't believe I'm going to ask you what losing a seat on the park board means, but apparently it means things.
We have an elected park board in Vancouver. I believe the people in Vancouver are proud to say it may be the only one on the continent directly elected, and there's a big battle there over the aquarium. The park board runs the aquarium. The aquarium has whales. The left-leaning majority on the old park board banned breeding the whales, step toward reducing them in captivity. The opposition party that won control of the park board is promising to let the whales go back breeding, so I'm sure the whales are happy.
I know we've done a lot of stories about whales here at KUOW, but I'd never thought that Vancouver municipal politics would be tied to cetaceans.
So what is it there now? I'm just trying to remember the whale count. There's a couple of belugas and a couple of dolphins in the aquarium. That's the issue. There's some question as to whether or not the opposition party that got in has enough votes to turn things around. They don't have a supermajority, which they need. But in any event, yeah, that was one of the issues. The park board had also stupidly, in my view, picked some fights with some local community organizations and stirred up those organizations more than you'd want to. So voters took out their anger there, but otherwise we move on. And what we move on to, Marcy talked about this as well, is the city of Vancouver, the region, is scheduled to hold a referendum on transit funding in the new year. Folks in Seattle, any pointers you can offer on how to do these things, let us know, because we're not used to these things, but the government's determined to do it, so they got to come up with some new funding sources for a bunch of transportation projects.
You told me what? Billions, several billion?
$7.5 billion, yeah. Dollars over 10 years. So, but that includes a bridge, a new transit line, a light rail line, a lot of bus service improvements. And obviously everything won't be funded through the referendum. Some of the money will come from the fare box, some of it from property taxes and senior governments. So it's not like they have to go out and get somebody to approve a $7.5 billion tax hike. Even our government couldn't pull that off.
Well, Vaughn, I look forward to talking about this referendum as the months unwind. Vaughn Palmer, correspondent for the Vancouver Sun.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Vaughn joins us most Wednesdays with news from Canada.